Thank you, church, again, for your generosity and partnering with what Jesus is already doing. He's invited us to work with him. And so by your generosity, it enables us to do ministry and impact lives. And Wayne, thank you very much for sharing with us today. Anybody ever played the game Simon? You throw that picture up there, right? We're on our In It to Win It series here again. Now, you ever played that game Simon? How many of you have never seen that game before? Maybe that's the question, right? Yeah, that's fair enough. That's fair enough, right? Okay. Oh, my gosh. So let me ask this. For those of you who have never seen the game Simon, how many of you know the game Bop It then? Yeah, right. So you know the game. Same general principle, right? Same thing. So how do you play Bop It? So one of the, there's somebody that's done that. Pull it, he said. Yeah, all of that, right? So it tells you what to do, and right, and you got to do that on the device you're holding. How do you play Simon, for those of you who know that old game? Follow the color, repeat the pattern, right? Imitate what you see around you, and you try to go as far as you can. It just keeps getting more complicated as you go. Yeah, my brain starts to hurt when I play that game, and so I don't last typically too long. Hey, truth is, people tend to imitate things, and people like imitating. I watch these TikTok videos, and we'll see people doing dances, right? We had VBS, and Carrie was leading our song section part, and some of the older kids, they had fun with it because there was a freestyle part, and so she invited them, hey, like, do your favorite TikTok dance, and they totally kept it clean, which I expected. And they did great. It was like right back in there, and I'm not even going to try to do one today. So in case you was waiting, not going to happen today. And they had so much fun with it. It was super, super good. How many of you have noticed that if you have a kid or kids that they said something or they did something, and your immediate response was, "Oh, that was me." Or, "Oh, that was their dad." Yeah, my wife's hand goes straight up in the air. Kids imitate parents. Kids imitate teachers. Kids like to imitate professional athletes, right? How many kids have played ball pretending they were Michael Jordan or Tiger Woods playing golf? Or, oh, my goodness, right? We can go around the block on that. Churches like to imitate popular trends and worship styles of music. You've maybe have seen some of this, right? So the way the team dresses, the way the lights are, the way the background all looks, the types of songs that they sing, and you just can see that pattern and go, "Oh, that looks like Hillsong," or "That looks like Elevation," or "That looks like," and you just fill in the blank. Pastor Andy likes to imitate people on YouTube who are fixing small engines and vehicles. That tends to help me as well. And I know I'm not the only one that does that. But I confess, imitation can be a good thing. For sure. And it can bring lots of fun and be helpful. Sometimes on the other side of it, imitation can be a negative, cannot necessarily be a good thing. You may have seen folks acting rude when they don't get what they want, because they've seen others do that, and it got them what they wanted, and so they act rude out in public to other people and businesses. Seen somebody cheat or steal to try to get what they wanted, because they've seen other people do that, and they seemed like they got what they wanted from that, at least in the short term, anyways, right? Same for the moment. People promoting alternative lifestyles because they see pop culture is glorifying certain ways of living and ideas. And so people want to imitate that because that's what the popular thing to do. Perhaps whether even they fully understand or may agree with it, they imitate. We've, over the years, have seen folks who will sort of give out injustice for the sake of trying to draw attention to injustices in society. Riots and vandalism and fires and just randomly, you know, abusing people because, well, you know, hey, we're going to make our point known, right? And so we've seen that happen. People imitate other people. Something about that in us imitates. We learn from things that we see, and we want to. I think in some sense we want to be like others. Part of us that wants that. What we imitate in life matters, though. John, in his writing in the New Testament, and 3 John, if you're like want a really short book in the Bible to read and feel really great because I read a whole book in the Bible today, and it's like one chapter, and hey, I'm not against that. Sometimes you need that win. Because it's been, been that kind of day. But anyways, he wrote to his friend Gaius. He says, dear friend, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. Twist it, turn it, pop it. Red, green, yellow, green, red, red, green. Imitate the pattern. Imitate what is good, not what is evil. Well, if you know me, you know then I like to point us to one particular person or focus if we're going to talk about how we could live our lives. Anybody got a guess of where we might land today? Jesus. Oh, yes. Fantastic. You nailed it. We're going to look at Jesus, right? So imitate. If you're going to be in it to win it, right, a life of serving the Lord, a life of honoring God with your life, which is what I'm getting at when I say that phrase, there's the need to say, imitate Jesus with your life. Like the game Simon, like Bop It, imitate Jesus. In fact, Jesus even told the disciples, here in John 13, he said, I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Jesus told the disciples, he said, I want you to imitate me. I want you to put into practice what I have taught you, what I've shown you, what you're learning from me, and what you're still going to learn, right? I want you to put that, I want into practice, I want you to imitate. Okay, fair enough. So let me ask a question. What might be worth imitating from Jesus? What might be worth imitating from the life of Jesus? Is it to carry a cross down the road with a long white robe and a very stylish mullet? And of course, our own Paul cut his hair so he doesn't, which looks super stylish. I like it. It looks good. Perhaps if that's something that you really feel like you need to do, okay. But perhaps there's room to say, if we're going to imitate Jesus, that there's a couple things that we could focus on and keep it super simple. And one is, which I know it's going to surprise you, which love God. Love God. If you're going to imitate Jesus, start with loving the Father, right? Love God. Love the Father and the Holy Spirit and the Son. But if you think of Jesus, here, look what Jesus said. I love the Father and do exactly what my Father has commanded me. I love this confession from Jesus. And I want to just quickly tell you 2 reasons why. Number one, because when Jesus says, I love, it's that agape, it's that whole sense of every ounce of my being has affection for my Father, that I am completely surrendered unto Him. I have submitted myself to Him. It is Him above all that I want to glorify and honor with my life. I love the Father. But then He follows that up and He says, what? And what does it say? Read it. Do exactly what my Father has commanded me. So that affection has a response. From the heart then comes action. It comes a commitment, a willingness to carry out the commands, the teachings of Scripture, to carry out what Jesus has set as the example. Remember, He said, I want you to do as I've done for you. And Jesus says, well, if you notice my life, I love the Father. And therefore, everything that He commands me, I put into practice, I should say, right? I live that out. Because why? Because I love him and I want to glorify and honor him. If you know the story of the gospel, where does that take Jesus to eventually? I'm not doing a TikTok dance. I'm just kind of moving this way, right? Yeah, it takes him to the cross, right? Absolutely. And he dies. And it takes him to the tomb. And then it takes him to where? The resurrection, right? We could almost leave the empty tomb up all year, couldn't we? Like we'd have the cross, the empty tomb. We could leave that there all year. Because that's the gospel. That's the good news. And it preaches in every single moment of the day. And no matter what topic we come across and we talk about Jesus, we can go to the cross and the tomb. Because in that is the work of God. For the glory of God. For the good of humanity. That a separated people from God could be reunited with God. When you look at those two elements and you think about the story of what Jesus has done, you notice something, a pattern. What are the odds I would use that word today? You see a pattern that Jesus continually makes a choice to defer his will to the will of the Father. In love, he chooses to defer to the will of the Father instead of elevating his own sense of desire. That'll preach. In love for God, that we would elevate the desire of God for our life over our own desires. That we would submit to God as Christ has submitted to the Father instead of asking God to submit to our will. Which is in essence what we do when we choose our own will over God's will for us. I'm not preaching to you, I'm just preaching to me. I have that struggle. There's times where I wrestle with that. But just because I struggled doesn't mean that it isn't still the right journey to take. It's hard to imitate Christ and to pick up your cross and to carry it and say no to the flesh that you may say yes to Christ is a hard journey. It is challenging. But that's the journey that he's appointed for you through your faith. That you would imitate Christ. Defer your will to God and walk in his instructions for your life. All right, so if there was any, for me, I know we could pick multiple places from the Gospels, and I thought, well, let me just pick one, and where might I find one really good, poignant example of this? And I thought, man, you just got to go to the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus is there praying. He's about to be arrested and is going to endure the passion. And when he's there, he's got some disciples with him, right? And so he tells them, pray. And there he is. And he's in this moment. And he knows what's coming. The weight of the sin of humanity that's going to bear upon him. And the agony and the excruciating pain of what he's about to experience. And being beat and being crucified. And his blood poured out there on the cross. And going through. He knows it's right there on the horizon. It is days away. And in his prayer, and many of you probably, you know it, you know, you could quote it with me. He asked, Father, if there's any way that this suffering can pass from me, if I do not have to bear this, but not my will, but yours be done. That's what loving God is all about. I know what I would prefer, but God, I know that you prefer this. And I know it's different than what I prefer. And so, not my will, but your will be done for me. Because I want to do what you want to be done. What can that look like for us to love God? Oh man, I have some good examples of this. Prayer. Prayer is a great way to love God. If you're worshiping online with us today, do me a favor. Would you type each of these in the comments so that we can have them in front of us, right? Prayer. And so many of you have probably heard of the Acts model of prayer, and it's so simple, but it's just, I think, so spot on too. That think about when you pray, you say, well, I love God. How would I pray? Well, adore God in your prayer. Tell God how great and wonderful and majestic and he is, right? Adore him in prayer. But also, if you need to confess sins to God, then confess those things in prayer, right? I mean, the Lord already knows. So go ahead and confess it to him. Lord, I'm sorry that... Give him thanks. Because you know he's a good God. How he's blessed you. Count your blessings, name them one by one. That's all you're going to get. You can count your blessings. Give him thanks when you pray. And whatever the need or needs are that you have, ask him to supply those for you. Supplication. Would you supply the things that I need? Lord, man, you're great. I'm sorry I've fallen short. I thank you for being the wonderful God you are. And would you supply my needs for my good? I mean, that's such a simple way to pray. And I think it's a way to say, God, I love you. To pray that way. How many of you like to praise God? All right. How many of you like to lament to God? I think it gives me hands on that one. So when we lament to God, we are stating to God all the problems of our lives, if you will, right? Oh, the weight and the pain and the suffering of my life. Oh, this is so horrible. Da, da, da. Sometimes we go, God don't want to hear my junk. Oh, yes, he does. Because he already knows. And he loves you. And he cares about what you care about. But I've been saying it to him last five days when I pray. I think he's got it. That's your idea. That's not God's idea. If you hurt, lament. Speak that to God. Express it to God. But let me caveat this, though. When you lament to God, if you're going to lament like is in the book of Psalms, the lament Psalms, do this. No, not literally. You got to do that, right? But you share your hurts and your whatever it is. But you want to end it with, yet God, I know that you are good and you are able to sustain. You can provide. There's nothing that can stop you in your goodwill. I trust you. I love you, Lord, right? Lament has to have balance. Because when you read the lament Psalms, you see the balance. It's not just, woe is me. It's, woe is me and wonderful is God. I just came up with that. You could put that on a plaque or something, maybe. I kind of like that. And I would say also, you can love God by seeking God in the scriptures. Seek him there. Seek me and search for me with all your heart. He says, oh, you know when you'll find me? When you seek me with all your heart. And one of the greatest ways you can seek God is in the scriptures. Where it's in the scriptures that we learn about who he is. We learn about his character. We learn his values. We learn the plan that he's working out in the world and had today and has been and will. We learn these things. God reveals him. He manifests himself through the word of God. It's God breathed. He's given it for us that we may hear and learn about our God. And giving our possessions is another way of loving God. Giving our possessions, making them available to him, like Wayne had said today, all open to however he wants to use it. Lord, it's all yours. It was yours to begin with. It's still yours. You use it as you need. And if I need more, yeah, you'll just give me what I need. I trust you for that, but it's all yours. And I love you, and so I'm just giving it over to you. I surrender to you. I trust you. For you are trustworthy. When we love God, we are surrendered. Like Jesus, he's like submitted, surrendered. And we love what he loves. And you say, well, what does God love, man? Greg, glad that you asked, because my answer to this is found in a story. When Jesus was late at night, he was at Waffle House. And when he was at Waffle House, just kidding, he was not. I did not get paid promotion for that. He is late in the evening, and there's a Pharisee that comes to him, and he wants to have a conversation. Not because he wants to argue with him, He literally is Jimmy wants to learn and to find out. And so this guy's name is Nicodemus. And Nicodemus comes, and they start have this conversation. And Jesus' conversation with Nicodemus is where we get John 3:16. That's not just a statement, carte blanche, about what the church believes. I mean, it is, but it's not what it's all about. And Jesus, in that conversation, he says to him that, for God so loved the, what? The world. He wasn't just talking about the natural creation, right? When we think world, we tend to think the world, you know, like earth and all that kind of stuff. And he's, for God so loved the world. Well, he does love his creation. But then we get a context. For God so loved the world that he gave his, what? One and only son. Come on. That whoever believes in him shall perish, not perish, but have a lasting life. For God so loved the world. Oh, this is talking about people. And he's, for God so loved people that he did what he did. To imitate Jesus is to love people. And you go, well, hello, tell me something I didn't know already. I get this. Jesus did good for people so that he could, they could experience his goodness. That in that goodness, they would be drawn to knowing who God is and be drawn to faith. To experience God's goodness, Jesus saw it was important not to discriminate in who got to experience God's goodness. Some of the people that he chose to love, they didn't agree with him. They had different political views. They had different some moral positions. They had different religious viewpoints, different ideologies than he held. And some of them really could care less about the people that were marginalized to the outcasts of society, right? They are unclean. They are sinners. Therefore, boom, push them offside. We've got other things to deal with. And so Jesus, for God so loved the world, decided, I'm going to go over here with the outcasts. I'm going to go love the people that you have pushed off to the side. The people that you don't want to talk to anymore. The people that you don't want to feed and to help. I'm going to go spend some time with them. Because even if you don't like what I'm doing or agree with it, God loves people. And I want to show you so that you may imitate as I have done for you, right? Yeah. And it didn't matter if they were homeless, if they were handicapped, if they were hard-headed, if they were had hiccups, hang-ups, and hurts in their lives. It didn't matter. Jesus, he engaged them with words of hope. He accepted everyone as having value. Because he knew that they were fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God. He saw that one nugget of truth, and everything else was pushed aside. They're a human being. Thus, they have value, and they deserve to be loved, not cast aside and ignored, and discriminated against. So he accepted them right there. Yet he also recognized that they're a sinner in need of salvation. They need a redeemer. They're separated from God. The handicapped, the outcast, the homeless were separated just as well as the Pharisee. And Jesus saw the truth of that. When Jesus accepted people because they had innate value, I want us to recognize that in doing that, he was not approving of sin. And you go, well, that's, yeah, I get that. I want to point that out when we talk about loving people, because in today's culture, when the world says, I need you to accept me for who I am. I need you to accept me as I am. In our culture, that tends to carry the same weight as approval, I need you to accept me as I am and thus approve of me as I am right now. When we look at the life of Jesus in scriptures and the gospel, that is not, they're not the same. Acceptance, even today, really, if we get particular about it, acceptance and approval are not the same. We accept an individual into our lives as a person who has value because they are made in the image of God. We say imago Dei, right? The image of God. Inherently, they're worthy of being loved for no other reason than that. Thus, for God so loved the world, right? He knows who he's coming to save. But just like Jesus did not approve of sin while he accepted someone right there where they are, he calls the church to love people in that same manner. We don't approve of unrighteousness. We do not approve of immorality. We do not approve of unethical behavior. Even though society may embrace, in a way, it's almost pop culture kind of idea, that this is what is right. And there's nothing wrong with that. The responsibility for the church is to respond to culture with the gospel, which is love God, love people, in essence, that we love people right where they are, which means you have to engage people in their lives. Sometimes the church is so afraid to engage sinners, they just turn a blind eye. How will you ever share the gospel with somebody if you don't step into their space and welcome them into your space? It's not cooties. I don't want to get that dirtiness. It's almost like that's kind of the, I don't know what to do or say. I don't want that dirtiness in my, And it's like, twist it, turn it, bop it. Imitate Christ. You have to step into the space. You have to allow them to step into your space. You have to accept people where they are and love them right there with mercy and compassion and grace. Because to do otherwise is to, for me, I would say it is to disregard the cross. Because think about this. Isabella, walk with me. Think about this. The message of the cross is a story, and that story says that the Son of God came to earth, came into our space. Accepting us where we are, knowing we're not where we need to be. It says, I love you where you are, and I'm inviting you into a better life with me. That you may be transformed by the truth of God. He welcomes us into his space. He says, I'm going to love you. But I know that you are unrighteous and in need of salvation. Therefore, that's why I'm doing what I'm doing. So I accept you, but I don't approve of the sin that so easily entangles and ensnares the world. And I'm going to make a way so that you can be victorious over that. It can be forgiven and you can be welcomed into a right relationship with God. I'm going to do that. And he did. And the tomb. And he rose from the dead. And he claimed victory over sin and death. Hallelujah. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. To love people is to accept, but is to hold truth to the right standard of God and his word. And to be patient with people. That's tough, isn't it? To be patient with folks that you so want to pursue a different path, but they don't want it. That's hard. That's really hard. I know Jesus had this in his mind and his heart because when he came and started preaching, he preached a particular message. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. That's the New King James coming out in me there. Sorry. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. For God so loved the world that the kingdom came through Christ. But to enter into the kingdom required repentance, to turn from sin and turn to trust and follow in the Lord. Jesus loved people, but didn't approve of sin. So to imitate Jesus is to love people. All right, let's have some fun. So we're going to split the room in half. You ready? And it's fairly even, so I think this works. So here's what we're going to do. All right, so for this half of the room, I want you, so like right here, look, here's what I want you to do. I want you to see, tell me ways that you've experienced love from people in the church. All right, hold on for a second. So be thinking. Think of an idea. Okay, this half of the room, I want you to do something different. I want you to tell me some ways that you can love your enemies and those who are just hard to love. We might call EGR, extra grace required. All right, that's that church talk. I know, I get it. All right, you ready? So you got a moment, you're thinking about it. And you're thinking about it. All right, here we go. Let's see if we can fill in the blanks. And I'll say them so I can hear them, and I'll repeat it as we go. So ways you've experienced love from people in the body of Christ. What do you got? What can you tell me? Prayers. Oh my goodness, holy cow. One at a time. What start? All right. I like it. All right. Somebody else. Friendship. There we go. Acceptance. Somebody's listening. Money. You can give me money. I'll be your friend. Yes. Well said. Well said, Arthur. All right. Anybody else? What do you got? I know. Encouragement. Great. Love, encouragement, holding you up when you can't stand because they care about you. Yes, they want your good. Somebody else? Anybody else? Real quick. One more. Yeah. All right. Well done. Worship together. Take communion together. I heard one more. Yes. Spending time with you. Absolutely. All right. One last one. Acts of service. I love it. I love it. I love it. Okay. So we're going to go over here. You guys ready? Okay. So what do you got? Tell me ways we can love our enemies and those that are hard to love. Be kind to our enemies, people that hurt us. Praying for them. Yes. To try to understand them. That's right. Absolutely. That is deep right there. You just, yes. Spend time with them. What else we got? Forgive them. All right. All right. Yes. Anybody else? What are you thinking? Yeah. Give them food. All right. I love it. I love it. All right. Any last one? Preach the gospel. All right. All right. All right. All right. That's really good. So we think about loving people. It's loving people that are easy to love. Loving people that are challenging to love. Not that you guys are challenging to love. We're not saying that at all. Right? No. Yeah, right. Loving our enemies and just loving others, especially in the body of Christ. And you say, well, I want to point this out because, you know, Scripture's teaches us that, look, if you say that you love God and you don't love, actually it's in 3 John, and you don't love others well, then you don't really know God. Jesus says that, yeah, anybody can love their friend, but love even loves your enemies and those that hurt you. So we have to do hard love, if you will. Do you know that God loves you? Do you know that God loves you? I want to tell you one last way you can know that God loves you. God sent the Holy Spirit into your life so that you could be born again through Christ, that you could learn of his love for you so that you could be guided, so that you could be strengthened, so that you could be empowered, so that you could have wisdom and understanding that is beyond your years that he wants you to have. And I know that's because of God's love, because in Romans chapter 5, it says that his love was deposited into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. God has given you what you need. So when you think, I don't have what I need, look within. You have what you need. You have the Holy Spirit. You have the presence of God in you through your salvation. I'm not strong enough. Yes, you are, because you're strong in the Lord and the power of his might. But I don't have the wisdom I need. God, I do have the wisdom I need because you're giving it to me. Because your word says that if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives with all liberality and without finding fault. Why? Because he loves you and he wants you to walk in his wisdom. Because he knows it's good. I don't have the time. I don't have enough hours in the day. Woe is me. But no, God, you are not restrained by time or resources. You are not limited. I know that you can provide. And where I see scarcity, I know that you always see abundance. And where I see an end, I know that you just see a temporary blockade. But you already know what's beyond it. And you already know that I can get through it. You know. So help me relax. Oh, watch this. Y'all, oh, come on. You ready? Lord, help me relax in what I don't know and find peace in what you do know. Help me not to worry. Help me not to be anxious. Help me not to fear. Help me not to give in to negative thoughts and unhealthy stories and negativity and hopelessness and just being tired and run down and wanting to quit. Lord, I know that I get tempted with that. But you're not a God that's any of that. That's not who you are. And I want to imitate you. So thank you that I have who I need and what I need every time I need it to love you and to love the people around me, that the world will know that I'm a follower of Jesus by the way that I imitate what you've already taught me. Oh, as he said, they'll know you're Christians by the way you love. Every day is a little different, that's for sure. But the goal is always the same. Twist it. Turn it. Pop it. Yes, he got it. Excellent. Absolutely. Imitate Christ with your life. Love God, love people, even when it's challenging to do so, but especially when it's easy. Be someone that other people want to imitate because they see you imitating Jesus with faith and grace. And mercy. Someone who I might argue is in it to win it. Fully committed for Jesus. Amen. And that was fun. I invite our worship team to come up this morning. And would you guys stand with me this morning? And we're going to close out our service in a song of worship today. It's going to be good. Father, I ask your blessing upon the remainder of our service as we're nearing an end and being sent out into the world. Help us imitate Jesus, a life of loving God and loving people at all times. May your Spirit inspire us and remind us that through our salvation, your presence, we have who and what we need. So help us to walk in that knowledge and walk with confidence in Christ, no matter where we are, what we're going through, or who we're working with, so that you are glorified through our lives, and the world will know that we love you, and that we're followers of Jesus by the way we love. Amen.